any rate, he was talking about, he would always tell these different stories, and they just, you know, they had their own southern punchlines, I guess. Most of them were terribly corny, but this week I thought of a number of times, in fact, the last month, but especially this week, where he talks about where they were out coon hunting. And out there in the dark, he and whoever, Cletus, Festus, all these old southern names, whoever, and they're out there hunting, and they get this coon treed, and get up in there and get the light and see eyes and take a shot, and old coon doesn't come out. After a while, old Cletus says, "I'm going up after him. You hold the light, I'm going up." He crawls way up on top of this tree, and the next thing you know, they're snarling and growling and screaming, and fur and tattered clothing is coming out of the top of that tree. And after a while, they hear him yelling from the top of the tree. He said, "Man," he said, "just shoot up amongst us." He said, "One of us has got to have relief." He'd crawled up into a mountain lion. At that time, he didn't care who died, just somebody, just shoot, somebody needs help. That's what I felt like a few times this week. How about you? And it's been a rough haul of a week, I know, for a lot of us. I mean, just watching the incredible deceit, insidious behavior. We're not talking about Democrats. We're talking about out-and-out communist, leftist, fascist. I mean, it's awful. And yet we're here in large part, I believe, and I said it a few weeks ago, and I'm going to say it again, if we were to lose this election, I would lay it squarely in large part on the shoulders of the church. Well, we've been dilly-dallying around. Every time there's a crisis in the world, we're all ready to get out of here, the ultimate escapist. Oh, it's the signs, it's the end of the time. You hear it all the time. None of them guys agree with each other. Here's another one I don't like. Well, God's in control. That is an improper, lazy doctrinal idea. God is in control, obviously, because he is sovereign over all things. He answers to no one. But wait. But he delegated a part of his authority to man. And right now in the world, because Adam sinned. Are you with me? God is not in control of everything that is going on in this realm. He delegated authority to us. And as we observe what is taking place around the world, we can't lay that on God. That's bad, bad thinking. The whole idea of the sovereignty of God, and everything happens for a reason and God is behind it. Really? Then why does James 4:7 say, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee? If God's behind everything, then he sent the devil. Why do you rebuke disease? You going to fight God? Why do you fight cancer? Just let God do it. I mean, just let him just take that cancer wherever he needs it to go. If God's the one behind. No, we're told in Scripture. Psalms tells us that he sent his word and delivered them and healed them, delivered them from their destruction. By his stripes, we are healed. He told us, he gave us, what he did is he conquered the devil and then he delegated that power to us and told us to stand. He gave us his name. Philippians 2 said, because he was obedient unto death, became a servant, humbled himself, set aside his glory. The King James says, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Submitted himself willingly. They didn't kill him. He offered up his life. The lamb slain before the foundation of the world. God already had a plan for you and I. For God, don't ever forget the basics. For God so loved the world. He loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Aren't you glad for Jesus today? Aren't you glad for Jesus today? Hallelujah. Don't ever forget who was behind that. I lost my train of thought. I'm just having a good old time. Yeah, the sovereignty issue. Trying to pick up where I was at. That whole idea of God being in, he delegated authority. People, it's not the time to weaken and say, well, God's in. Stop. No. It's the time to stand and fight. In the spirit. We don't get over into the flesh. Huh? What is Zechariah 4? Is it Zechariah 4, 6? Do I have it right? It's not by might, nor by power. Or not by power nor by might, whichever way it is. But by my spirit does the Lord. So that's where our battle is. And this is not the time to weaken whatsoever at all. You know, I hear a lot of this stuff. We have been delegated an authority in the spirit. And we have the ability to stand. And you know, Jesus brought it down to, we have the picture of Gideon with only 300 men, but Jesus really skinned it down. He said, if any two of you should agree. And even just me and Jesus is a majority, you and Jesus. But if he can beat us in our mind, that's what he's after. Amen? And I want to ask you something too. And this is something that I had to face myself. Now, this is not a subtle way of preparing you for a loss. Because I don't believe that. But I want to check some motives here right now and do a little checkup from the neck up right now. If we were to lose the election, where would that leave you? Dejected, despondent, defeated, then we've embraced the world's way of thinking. Well, of course we would be. But would it completely wreck our walk with the Lord and our joy and our whatever? If that's the case, then Mr. Lee Shaw, if that's the case with me, then I need to back up and look at what's going on inside of me. I have subtly embraced the world's way of thinking because I think that my peace, my prosperity, my peace of mind is somehow tied to a worldly system. Now, do I believe in America? Absolutely. Do I believe that God put this place on the map? Do I believe that God desires and wants to sustain it? I believe He is stirring people to pray and to stand. He needs us to give Him room to work. God will not work. You hear it all the time. I get so tired of it. I'm going to go back and do a series on the sovereignty of God and show you in Scripture. God is sovereign. Let me say it again. God is sovereign in this. He answers to no other. That's what sovereignty means. Ultimate authority answers to nobody else. But Psalms, I think it's 138:6. Somebody check me out. Make sure I'm not telling you wrong. Psalms 138, I believe it's verse 6, but it says something along these lines, that he has exalted his word. Do I have the right verse? No, keep reading. So I have the wrong verse. So I say you need to always check Bubba out. Don't believe anything I say because I said it. Check me out. Okay, nope, that's the wrong. That's probably why I went to that verse. Psalms 138. Look there in the first few. It should say something along these lines, that he's exalted his word above all his name. 138:2, somebody said. 138:2. Those are both good scriptures, and it's easy to get them swapped around. Psalms 138:2. He's exalted his word above all his name. So because he is ultimately an authority, and he is the ultimate power, and he answers to no one, he also, because of his love, because of covenants, he is the only one then, because he only answers to no one. He is ultimate authority. He is the only one then that has the power to limit himself through covenants because of his love for mankind. He honors. You can take God's word to the bank every time. His spirit, Jesus referred to as the spirit of truth. If there's a single, not to oversimplify, well, it's not oversimplifying at all. If there's a single reason why America is in the mess that it's in today, it goes back to some very basic things, very basic issues that we have through, first, I believe the church relinquished because of bad teaching. I'm going to step on some toes right now. I don't know if you believe in the rapture or not. Doesn't matter, Revelin. I don't know if you believe in a 7-year tribulation and the Antichrist and all that is still ahead of us. Doesn't matter. Whether that's still ahead of us or not, I know that when the heart of man is without God, the heart of man is evil, and he will always repeat history. This is why the leftists and the communists want to destroy history so they can use the same mechanisms to reintroduce their control, exercise their power and control over another, and they always go for the young. The impressionable. They love hitting that post-puberty age group that is still malleable, but now they're beginning to challenge authority. It's natural in them to try to reach for something more, reaching for manhood, reaching for womanhood, and yet they don't quite have the authority. And that's why the enemy has sought hard to defeat the home. If you don't have a mom and a dad with their feet on the ground with a young woman or a young man who is going through that process, a father who has the confidence in God's word, the confidence in himself because of not self-confidence, but Paul's understanding of that his confidence, his sufficiency, who he is found in God's word. That if you don't have the confidence to exercise strength in your home. I remember years ago dealing with a family that the dad just would not exercise any authority. And the reason he didn't, he said, well, when I was their age, I was a wreck. Who am I to tell them when I love what John Osteen said one time. Changed my life. John Osteen. Not real thrilled with Joel. Pray for Joel. The American church is in trouble right now. I don't know if I'll get to any of my notes again this morning. I haven't for weeks, so why change today? But the emphasis that I would like to bring out is that more than ever before, you as believers need to be aware. You need to embrace and find out. We need to stop together. Individually and corporately, stop being lazy about the new covenant and find out what it means. God never designed our system to be within the confines of a building and assist a man-made system. Those things can be tools, but nothing more than tools. Giving way to a body that is aware of the church within, an anointing within that causes us, if we're paying attention, to know all things. But anyway, I digress. John Osteen said this. He said, what was the thought? You want me to go back there? Yeah. One of the things that really set me free about what John, he said, when I was getting started in our church, it was really growing and taking off. He said, you know, there would be those Sunday mornings where just everything went wrong. Kids were misbehaving, and he said, we'd be on our way to church. And he said, next thing you know, he said, they'd be fighting in the back, and I'd be reaching over the back. He said, I'm getting ready to go to preach to, you know, at that time, several thousand people. And he said, I'd reach back and be slapping and swinging, and they'd be crying. And then Dodie Osteen would be yelling at me. And then after a while, we're fighting and on our way to church. He said, then I'd show up, stand up in the pulpit, never any time to fix anything. Stand up in the pulpit, and the devil would whisper in my ear, who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? You're a hypocrite. You just said some things to your wife and beating on your kids and the things a mess. Now you're going to stand up here all pious and you're going to, he said, the devil will just lay it on. I'm so glad for what the scripture says. When the enemy comes in like a flood, let me tell you something. You think that's not a flood when you're standing in front of thousands of people and your church is going like crazy and he comes in with that? He said, the Lord raises a standard. Anyway, he said, I heard just very quietly, he says, John, open your mouth and speak my word. You're not preaching John Osteen, you're preaching Jesus. And he said, I began to realize it wasn't preaching me. And I told that father that. I said, this isn't about what you did in your past and you operating out of lesser authority than has been given to you. What is necessary for a young man or a young woman? They need that kind of love. They seek those kind of confines. This is why, you know, I grew up in large part in Central America. My brother's here today, which, by the way, I must interrupt myself. Hopefully I can remember where I'm at. We'll come back. Father, we lift up Central America right now in Jesus' name. I've seen some horrific videos. It looks like Hurricane Mitch. The count of the dead is piling up, flooding, horrific. Honduras, Nicaragua, right on down the line. So, Father, we lift up your people there and those that are trying to help and all the people, Father, for we just speak your salvation over those nations, Father God. We lift them up in Jesus' name. Don't even know how to pray for them. Father, in Jesus' name, our hearts. Come on, people. What if this was your... Our hearts cry out for them today. See people on rooftops bawling their eyes out, waiting on a boat to get there as the water. I don't even know what happened to them afterwards. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for the miraculous. Thank you for your people that have learned. That nation has had great revivals, that they would stand and expect the miracle-working power of God, not just for them, but those around them, Father, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Going back to the issue of the fire. And listen, as I'm talking like this, it's just like the devil to, as I'm trying to let grace shine more and to cut back on the condemnation for dad to be sitting there and feeling condemned because, well, I didn't know this and I really made some major mistakes. You tell the devil to shut up. Don't give that ground to him. He is still, somebody needs to hear me today. In Jesus' name, he is a restorer. He is a rebuilder. He will strengthen you. It's never, listen, God, as you honor him, we all did the best we, most of us in here did the best we knew with what we knew at that time. And there was so much good and there was so much bad. I was raised in legalism. Thank God I was in a home where my mom and dad lived in the home, what you saw outside of the home, and it directed my little heart in spite of legalism and law. It directed my heart to love and pursue and want to know God. So I don't trash all that. I'm thankful for a godly heritage. I'm thankful that the law of God was instilled in my past, or I would have never known grace. That's what made it so precious when it arrived. So don't be careful about But if you've made mistakes, don't you let the devil turn around. What right now this morning was intended to free you and cause you to become introspective and start doing the navel staring again and woulda, coulda, shoulda. The devil is a liar. He is... God is faithful. He knows how to restore. He knows how to do the impossible. Don't you ever let up and let off the gas, and you're believing God for your sons and your daughters and your grandbabies and quit. Listen, God right now is moving. He's drawing those young people back. But I'm speaking as a nation and as a church. When we begin to back off of God-given... And this is why the leftists, I watched it in Central America. They go right after the high school and college kids because they know they're malleable. They know that they're in that place of decision and confusion. And you get a few guys that are in college. In those countries, if they're in college, they fought to get there. That means they're looking and they're searching and they're studying and they're demanding answers. And they're angry. Because many of them have grown up in truth. We don't know injustice here. Systematic racism is a joke in America. And the black Americans know. I refuse to call them African Americans, and many of them are changing that too. They're Americans. And these black Americans, when you got 50% of black males voted for Trump. That's massive. Side note, we had a landslide till 3 a.m. They were talking about a blue wave. We had a red wave. And that battle is not near over. Don't swallow the lies. But anyway, I digress. So when the reason they go after these young people is because they're frustrated, they're angry, they're searching. They know, man, they know where to hit and stir them. Use what is naturally going on in them, and then if you get countries that are, and to take that young mind and begin to feed that. They can take young people to do their bidding to turn nations around. And it takes time to grow up. Some people never do grow up. I think I was talking to Chad yesterday. There was a lady that called, and I was listening one day to Rush Limbaugh, and she called in from, I believe it was Georgia, almost positive. And she was telling Rush, she said, you know, my daughter came home from school the other day. She's in junior high, and they're telling her at school how unjust things are in America, and how broken our system is, and how unfair it is, and on and on and on. And Mom, we really do need social reform, and you know, social justice is actually, there's a viable play. And she went on and on and on and talked about fairness and equality. And Mom, with the wisdom of God, she just kept quiet, and she said, okay, because in their home they had, I think, 4 or 5 children, and she had set them up with age-appropriate chores and age-appropriate allowances. And so when it came time to pay out the allowances, the older daughter, she just paid them all the same amount. She just made it, took away from the oldest daughter and distributed it evenly through the rest. And all of a sudden, it wasn't popular anymore with the... Her story was, the daughter says, Mom, I get it. I got it. I understand now that this isn't how this works. Anyway, going back. So they love to take advantage of these young people. And that's why they work so hard. They've got to get rid of any absolutes. This is why they hate God. God sets forth absolutes in His Word. It's a shame that the church, excuse me if I'm a little all over the place this morning, but internally I'm a little all over the place this morning. So deal with it. But here's the deal. It's amazing how the church, in the name of grace, has been PC'd into tolerating and even accepting sinful behavior in the name of grace. How many know we should love the sinner, but not the sin? We're told in Ephesians to speak the truth in love, to expose works of darkness. This is what we're told to do, but to speak the truth. The truth is unchangeable. And that's why they go after that. They begin to work on that. They want to dislodge. Listen, moral relativism right and wrong being relative to the circumstance, to the individual. This whole concept has even come into the church. I knew that Carl Lentz was in trouble back several years ago when I found out that he was on a broadcast saying that Jesus never really spoke to homosexuality. And then I did a little more investigation and found out he had a homosexual in the choir and one of them in a position. Listen, Jesus did not come to affirm and accept our sin. God sent Jesus to deliver us because he loves us. Not to affirm, to deliver, to bring forgiveness. How many are glad today for the blood of Jesus that paid the price once for all? But see, this whole idea, I don't have time to go in. I was going to read a long article about it. But when you begin to, through multiculturalism, begin to say in the backdrop, and this is all through our schools, it's been in there for years, that all gods are equal. No, they're not. Because then the next stage is that all systems under this have a viable place. And the next thing to follow is moral relativism, situational ethics. And you get young minds, after a while, this whole concept of question everything. I taught my kids, you should question everything. Accept the truth of God's Word. It is central. It is unchangeable. It stood the test of time. Nations that have exalted His truth have been blessed over and over and over again. And those that have ignored it Man either will follow God's law or he will be forced to follow the law of the bayonet. In this world, there are going to be systems. There has to be. Paul said the law. How many are glad that we are redeemed from the curse of the law? How many are glad last week? That's what I was talking about last week in 2 Corinthians 3. That the old law, which was glorious, has now been done away so that which is much more glorious would take its place. Hebrews 10 reveals that the law that was once written in stone, now he's going to write it on our hearts. 2 Corinthians 3 says, written on fleshy tablets of the heart. What is he speaking of? He's speaking of the same thing that John says in John 1:17. Moses gave the law, but grace and what? Truth. Truth is unchangeable. John chapter 4, they that worship me must worship me in spirit and in truth. This is why they come after anything that is an absolute. Anybody who takes a stand for anything is considered ironically intolerant, as they are the most intolerant people that you'll ever come across. And we see that all taking place right now. But at any rate, if there's ever a time when we need to get a hold of the truth of the new covenant and of the new law within. You hear me quote all the times. Romans chapter 8, verse 2. The law of the Spirit of life. This is a different law. It's not even a law like you're thinking. It's I've been made alive now in Christ. God made the way for an incredible miracle to take place, that you and I, as broken, undone human beings, could by a miracle, I said it last week, I'm going to say it again, could by the miracle of God, something called faith righteousness, house the very presence of God, no longer in a system, in buildings made with hands, but now we have become the temple of the Spirit of God. That's incredible. I don't know about you, Jim Runner, but I don't feel worthy of that at all. That is a daily walk of faith. To know that He, through the work of His blood, has made me worthy to house the presence of God. Now, how many know that we all are at different stages of growth on the outer man? How many know we're going to all blow it? We're going to all fail. That's why He made it possible for the one who has no failure, the perfect one, to live within us and our salvations. Philippians 3 tells us that we should work out, from the inside out. It's no longer trying to attain, but it is we have become one with Him in the Spirit. How many know? 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man, any woman, anyone is in Christ, they are a new creature. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. All of this. If I ever get to Elisha, I love the pictures of Elisha because it's all supernatural prophetic pictures of Jesus. And beyond that, it's pictures of what we now look like in Jesus before God. The double anointing. I don't know if we'll get there either, but the double anointing. How that the enemy has hijacked that and made it something cheap. Made it something false. The double anointing is simply a picture of the firstborn's rights. Jesus, Scripture shows that He was the first begotten of God. And in Him is all of our inheritance. And the biggest thing, the biggest prize in all of this is that the presence of God lives in us. John says it this way in John chapter 2, verse 20. Could we go there? I've quoted it over and over again over the last however many weeks. I quote it on a regular basis. Let's just turn there. 1 John chapter 2. If ever there is a time when we need to be aware of, because listen, systems are going to be crumbling all around us. Win or lose this deal, and I'm not trying to prepare you for loss. I don't believe that. But I'm saying we need to have our hearts and our minds in the right place. Psalm 61 says, when my heart is overwhelmed, David was singing, Lord, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Where is your trust? Is it in Trump? Is it in America? Is it in the red, white, and blue? I will fight for her to the death. But my trust is in the Lord. Are you here today? I know that He will take care of me and you if you'll trust Him. But listen, more than ever before, we need to realize that the anointing within is what God did all this for. All those pictures of Elisha, everything that He did, the pictures of the stick and the water that caused an axe to flow, right on down the line, everything He did was drawing a picture of what today you and I, if we could get a picture of this, is the anointing, the presence of God within you. You get a picture of that, it will keep you from being controlled by any government, federal, local, or, here we go, church government. We'll go back to the Bible way. Truth sets me free to submit to truth. And if I'm in a place where truth is being taught, And the Word of God is said, listen, if truth is being preached, you won't leave here feeling condemned. You have to be careful, Brother Lee. There's a place for, no, I don't have to be careful at all. Truth sets you free. Truth will increase your confidence in your relationship with Jesus. Truth will cause you to reach more, deeper in His love. It's for a reason that Paul said what he did in Ephesians 3, that he prayed for these people who acknowledge your love. I said this last week and I'm repeating again. People that he acknowledged their love for God, he still was interceding for them. For this cause, he said, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. And he goes on to pray for them. And he gets to the crux of the matter when he says that you would be strengthened with might in your inner man. For some battle? No. For that which beats every battle, including the one we're in right now. He said that you would get a revelation of the love of Christ, its length, its breadth, its depth, and its height, and understand that there is a power in you. Now unto Him. Listen, man, when you hear these verses, it is amazing to me that we hear these verses, and they just kind of go, Ephesians 3:20 says this. Hear it again. I quote it almost every week. Now unto Him. Do you believe this? Now unto Him that is able to do. I hear faintness of heart right now in the room. I hear truth ringing a bell, but I hear the... Right, I'm not being coy. I'm being very serious. And I want to encourage you and arrest that together. I want to join with you, brother. Because I sense faint-heartedness, faint-mindedness in the room right now. Yes, I've heard that, but you don't know what I've been through. Yes, I've heard that, but you don't know what we've seen. Yes, I've heard that, but arrest that. Arrest the butt, she says. There's a title for a sermon. When my heart is overwhelmed, felt a little overwhelmed, there's a place of safety and security in Him, of truth. And all that He did, what this whole new covenant was all about, was putting His Spirit within you. And John says, 1 John, chapter 2, verse 20. But you have an unction just like Elijah was a prophet of judgment. He represented the old. His miracles, in large part, had to do with judgment. Elisha, when he was taken up in a chariot, cried out, "My Father, my Father." These are all pictures. Supernatural prophetic pictures of the work of the old, bringing in the new. Double anointing is not what all these shyster guys on TV talk about. Send me this special offering at this special time and you'll get a double anointing. I heard a lady the other day, and you'd know who she is. I said her name. She said the Lord revealed to her a triple anointing. Utter foolishness. There is one anointing and it is more than enough. And it never goes away. You got it, brother. More than ever before, we need to be aware of that anointing that is in us. I'm going to try to take the time to lay this out and help you see it, stir you to see it together with us, what He has put in us. Okay? Look at what He says. You have an unction. from the Holy One. I'm not saying this. Do you embrace the Word of God this morning? Do you embrace truth? If you have been born again, the Word of God says, and here's the thing, this is why man's system and evil that is unleashed right now on this land, this is why we're in the mess we're in, they started from the schoolhouse to the theaters. Listen, America, because of the American church, because of bad teaching, I might step on some toes, I said I was going to say this earlier, but in the 60s, I find it interesting that in the 60s we had the charismatic revival. That is a revival of the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Some of you that are out of the Assemblies of God and the Church of God and its different factions and other groups saw great revival. What's the other one? Foursquare. Saw great outpouring and revival. Obviously, these groups started earlier. I get that. I've studied church history. But in the 60s, there was a real, all this was being brought together and power was in the house. Missions. The Assemblies of God around the world. I'm not Assemblies of God. I'm not advocating. That's neither here nor there. I'm saying a spirit-filled group entity. We used to joke about it in Honduras. I think I said this last week. For those of you who are here, I'm going to say it again. We used to joke in Honduras when I was living there and working. It didn't matter where you went, how far you went in the backcountry, there were two things that beat you there: Coca-Cola and the Assemblies of God. And it was because there was such a power. But listen, at the same time, you have an end time theology that arrested the power of the church to be salt and light. We had just come out of a time when the church was involved. The church literally turned the movie theater, entertainment, and TV, turned it around. Turned it away from. I've got a documentary that shows exactly how it happened. We absolutely prayed and got involved and said no and stood up. Evangelicals, the Catholic Church, and others stood up and produced what we now know as the golden age of television. Leave It to Beaver and all the others. Wholesome family shows that were they taught morals, literally, life lessons. It was popular. They ran for years. They're still popular. There's channels that hold them alone. Because the church said, God put us here for a reason. We're here to stay until He comes. And this isn't what we want America to look like. And they took a stand. But when you introduce a doctrine that says the return of Christ is imminent, based on this sign and this calendar and this thing, and you start teaching this stuff, it rendered, at the same time that power came in quickly on the heels, we have a doctrine of escapism. And the church says, we're out of here anyway. Jesus is coming back anytime. This and the sick, Tim and Beverly LaHaye, good people, love them. I still use their marriage books in marriage counseling and other stuff. But this concept of the whole thing of Left Behind, how many grew up on Left Behind? How many know people that had the literal hell scared out of you by a Left Behind movie? Tell you what, that's no way to come to Jesus. You shouldn't come to Him out of fear. You ought to come to Him. What does Paul say in Romans 2? It is the goodness of God that leads a man to repentance. Now, thank God, like Paul, at least the gospel was preached. But what it did is it took a church that was now being filled with power and quickly infused weakness. We're out of here. Everything we got to do, we got to do it quick because we're out of here. And all of a sudden, we weren't involved in government. We weren't involved in law. We weren't involved in the entertainment business. We weren't involved in any of these areas. We left that to the wall because we're out of here. Right now, we're having a major wake-up call. You don't know when you're going to be out of here. None of these guys agree with each other. I love you, Perry Stone. What a man of God. But how many times are we going to call it and be wrong? Hagee and all the rest. There was a doctrine. Listen, people. This whole idea, the enemy is just, you know, the same time around the 60s, the concept of the sovereignty of God was infused through the NIV and other translations, a brand new idea that the sovereignty of God means that everything happens because God's behind everything. It's unbiblical. It's not true. We just read Psalms 138:2, which says, He exalts His word above all His name. He, because He is sovereign, is the one who can say, but I'm going to delegate some sovereignty to you. Now it's your turn. Go in my name. Be salt and light. Change your world. This is not the time to weaken. This is not the time to say, well, God knows. God's in control. This is not the time to get worried. Your joy, your strength is not found in where our political system goes. It's found in Jesus. It's found in truth. And I'm thankful that today we still have. Look, everybody wants to point to the negative. Do you realize that 71 million Americans, and that's going to grow like crazy as they persist, stood for truth and righteousness. You can call it what you want to. That's way more than a lot of people thought. And there still are a ton of Christians that I know that refused. That's between you and the Lord. But refused to vote for Trump. A bunch of them that voted for Biden, and I don't understand it. Gary DeMar has a tremendous article that he put out yesterday in which he said, why I am a one-issue voter. And the picture above the article says it all. Shows two big hands, and in the middle of it is a perfectly formed human being in the form of a fetus. Church, where have you gone? What are you doing? Let's call it what it is. Now listen, if you've been through this, or in ignorance had this happen, I'm so glad today that at the foot of the cross, the ground is level. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And He forgives and He heals and He delivers. And you shouldn't suffer. We're a grace church. If you've had an abortion, you need to know you're in the best place in the world. He loves you. He qualifies you with the blood. He will use you. He will minister through you. It doesn't change anything. He forgives to the uttermost. Paul, the preacher of grace, held the coats of those who killed Stephen, endorsing his murder. So don't ever let the devil beat you up for past failure. But when it comes for standing for truth, we need to call it what it is, what they refuse to call it. It's called murder of the unborn. It's wrong. It's an abomination to God. And we need to understand that. Period. Where's the church, though? Well, I shouldn't say that because there are a lot of churches that are out there doing battle the right way. Pray for guys like John MacArthur and Jack Hibbs and many, many others standing in the toughest places. Tabernacle, Brooklyn, and many, many others standing. But my gosh, if ever there's a time that we need to be aware of who we are and the spirit within. Let me finish up here. It's not possible for me to finish up here. You have an anointing. Lay your hand over your heart this morning. I want you to say it out loud. I want you to hear it. See, this anointing in you, it's not truth being pushed on you from the outside, because you were born again. Because the love of God made all the difference. This is why Paul in Ephesians 3 is saying what you need is a revelation of His love. Because it'll give you a deeper revelation of the power within that causes Him to be able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could even ask, hope for, or imagine. It's in there. Say with me, it's in there. Come on, people. It's in there. The truth of God is in here. Help me in the process of renewing my mind to get the confusion out of this, to hear the truth that is alive in me as a son, as a daughter of God. You have an unction. You may have never heard the word unction before, but you heard it this morning. It is the tangible, real presence of God on the inside of you as a believer. If you believe anything this morning, this is what all of this that we preach is all about. And I don't know why it's ignored so much. We'll talk about finances. We'll talk about marriage. We'll talk about every kind of relationship. But everything emanates from the work of grace. And what was grace all about? Him in you and you in Him. You have an anointing. Truth. Some of you need to start trusting the buzzer. Pow! You come back out of there missing an arm. God! Why did you do that? Why did you allow that? You've heard the testimony of my leg. Smashed into a cinder block wall by a piece of machinery, compound fracture, main artery, main vein, big around as your thumb on the inside of my femur, completely severed in two. No possible way I'm supposed to be alive today. I should have been there. There was an EMT on site that dove on my back, not knowing what had already happened. He knew that I had less than a minute to live when he saw my bone sticking out. I was laying there about blind in pain. My wife, who happened to be there at the time, right when it happened, began to jump up and down and spin in a circle. And I could hear over blinding pain the Holy Ghost in other tongues flowing out of that little, like Rebecca, just going in a circle, and I could hear, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. To this day, Holmes Regional Medical Center has no clue. They admitted themselves, we don't understand why you're alive. All four of those major arteries and veins, all four points, instantly clotted, and I was without blood flow to this leg for 6 hours. I'm very glad for the life of God that makes the difference. But the enemy will work and work and work on you, and we are living in an age of delusion. The enemy has tried to come in on the heels of the preaching of grace, just like he did in the 60s with the outpouring of the Spirit, bringing in a false religion. He's trying to come in on the heels of grace and water down our resolve in reference to truth. And as a nation, we're in trouble. It's not the world. The world's always been the world. The devil's going to act like the devil. But there is a lot of people in the United States that say, I mean, let's face it, the Bible is still the number one seller, but are we reading it? David said, Thy word have I hid in my heart. Not I've read it a few times. You have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. Yeah. I don't have time now. I'm out of time. I can tie directly the double anointing, what Elisha referred to, this is what he was talking about. He wanted the rights, the inheritance of the firstborn son. There were many young prophets. But he called Elijah father, and he said, this is what I want. I want the rights, the inheritance of the firstborn. All pictures of Jesus. And now because of what he did as the first begotten of God, we now, as sons and daughters, house the presence of God. Go on and look at verse 27. But the anointing which you have received of him, it's not going anywhere, people. It abides there. Abideth in you, and you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you of all. How long has it been since you read that? All this stuff that we preach. Salvation, the work of Christ, the life of God, the love of God, the grace of God, healing, deliverance, all of these things that we preach that happened as a result of the cross. The main plate, the main thing in the middle was anointing no longer hidden in a back room of the temple, but in you, the temple of God. Lift up your hands all over the room this morning. Father, thank you. Because of the work of Jesus, I don't fall prey to deceit, to deception. Amen. The anointing which you have received him abides in you, and you need not that any man teach you, but it's the same anointing which teaches you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie. Even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. More than ever before, a lot of things are going to be changing. You think this COVID thing's gone away? You're ready. The whole mail-in thing? You think this wasn't pre-planned? I'm out of time, and I don't want to quit. That's right. Oh, you got two scriptures? An article I want to read. Read your scriptures. Go ahead.
Okay.
Do we have a mic? Oh, right here.
I won't take a minute. You know, this place has more freedom in it than you guys really know, guys. Because I can step up here and I don't feel bad at all about coming up here.
That's right. You shouldn't.
You know, the scripture on here that I want to share on there is in Isaiah, and it's 30 and 18 on there. And it says, and therefore the Lord earnestly waits, expecting, looking, and longing to be gracious to you. He's talking about you, friends. And therefore he lifts himself up that he may have mercy on you and show loving kindness toward you. You know, with all the stuff you see going on right now on there, this is what God says about you. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed, happy, be fortunate, to be envied are all those who earnestly wait for him, who expect and long and look for him. For his victorious favor, love, his mercy, his joy, his matchless, unbroken companionship.
Yeah.
God wants fellowship with
us.
You know, if you're going to overcome what's going on in this world right now, it's going to be because of that unmatchless companionship on there. One other scripture on there, and one more down here on there, and it says, and your ears will hear the word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. When you turn to the right hand or to the left.
Right. He was describing the inner voice.
The inner man. Yep. One more scripture over here that I'll share on there, and we'll let him roll here. Ephesians 1 and 6 down here on there, it says on there, so that we might be to the praise and the commendation and the glorious grace, favor and mercy, which he has freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. The
right.
Beloved word there means it's kartu, and it's C-H-R-I-T-O-O, and it means surrounded with his favor.
That's right.
Completely
Amen.
Encircled
That's
with
right.
his favor.
That's right.
every one of us, no matter what we see going on here, are surrounded with the favor of God that sets us free.
That's right. Psalms 5:12 says that.
Free.
Shield. Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen. Good, Louie. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. If you don't know Louie Bowes, that guy's a blessing. Thank you, Louie. Well, hopefully you got something out of this shotgun blast, because I didn't go anywhere I thought I would. Mario Murillo, I'll end with this. Why I will not abandon Donald Trump. Many are asking me to clarify what I meant in the last blog where I wrote that we should not fear because God has a surprise for us all. I will write about that soon, but right now this is the most important thing I can say. I will not abandon Donald Trump. Bloodthirsty Trump haters inside and outside the church, and that is sad. Demand that we renounce Trump and admit we made a costly blunder supporting him. It is disgusting to see some of his supporters, even Republican leaders, pay attention. Write their names down. Remember them come time to vote. I don't blame the Dems. It's our own. It's like I say, the church has huge responsibility here. You call yourself a conservative Republican, you better take a hard look at the guys that have... Anyway. It is disgusting to see some of his supporters, even Republican leaders, throwing the towel and abandoning him at the first sign of trouble, especially since God is well able to do a miracle. I thought this would be perfect. I have no personal illusions about my power influence in this crisis. Donald Trump needs far more than anything I can give him, but what I can do is right, he says. The impact of this little blog has shocked me before, and truly I need it to shock me again. I am praying that what I write here will go well beyond normal channels and into the hearts of many who need to act. Here are my reasons. Number one, when the church needed Donald Trump, he was there. He came to our defense at a great personal cost. I don't know about you, but when I saw that little quick shot of him this morning, he looked worn and tired. And yet he has vowed, I'm going to fight for you and for America. I don't know about you, but I would say, you know, I don't need this. I've laid down everything. And my own people, where are they at? I'm going to go home, let them have what they want. I'm going to go home, enjoy my family, go back to my job, make money, do what I, or, you know, salvage what I have left. But he's not. Regardless of what you think, are you listening? How can we abandon him now that it might cost us something? Donald Trump knew evil when he saw it. This is number two. He knew the corrupt and vile leftists that infest Washington. He discerned the evil of the deep state. He decoded the shameful agenda of the big tech and the media. All of the stuff that we're seeing right now, as frustrating as it is, it's being exposed. It didn't get exposed last time. It is now. We've been praying, God expose this stuff. Well, it's being exposed. But we got politicians and even pastors saying it's time to know when to throw in the towel. Wait a minute. Whoa, 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 whoa. Stop. What are you doing? Said who? He decoded the shameful agenda of big tech and media, abhorred evil, resisted it with every executive order and every appointment to the Supreme Court. How can we not see that it is evil and only evil that is trying to control this election? How can we not see that standing with Trump is to stand against evil? I agree with him. This is Mario Murillo. He's been around a while. He's done more for college students and reaching kids all over America for years and years and years. This is no dum-dum that just showed up. This is a very learned man who's been involved in the fight for a long, long time. How can we not see that it is evil and only evil is trying to control its election? How can we not see that standing with Trump is to stand against evil? We should be fasting, praying, rebuking, and declaring victory over Satan. What I wanted to say to you this morning, and I didn't do a very good job of it, and I don't need you to come up and say, oh, yes, you did, Pastor Lee. No, I know what I did. It was coming in here. You step into my shoes after a day like yesterday and last week and try to come up with something to lift me as well as you and see how easy it is. I'm not going to just go down through my stupid little notes and give you a little 1, 2, 3. I want to encourage you to be aware of the might that is on the inside of you, the knowledge of truth and the ability to stand, remind you of the warrior within and not weaken or faint in your mind. They need us to stand in the Spirit and any other way we can. There's no time to quit or weaken. We should not be abandoning our post. Number three, when things looked impossible, Donald Trump held his ground and continued to confess what he would do about the economy, about China, about religious freedom. I don't know if you're aware of what he has done all over the world in reference to religious freedom. Why aren't we hearing that in the big churches? As they're preaching to dark auditoriums with empty seats? These church, they keep dancing with, we were talking about this earlier. You dance with the devil, you're going to pay the fiddler sooner or later. I don't care what kind of stimulus money and how you've justified why you're doing what you're doing, you better wake up. These systems will not stand. There's one thing that will stand, and I want to remind you, I don't care whether we're in a building or not anymore. We can close those doors. I want you to be aware that we are the body. This is the temple. He is alive in you. And it's the anointing that makes the difference. That's what the blood did. Yes, benefits, healing, deliverance, provision, all of these byproducts of oh so great a salvation. But the main deal is He is in you and able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ask or think. Don't be faint-hearted. Stand in the Spirit. Do just what He said. Rebuke the devil. Pray in the Spirit. Cover. Believe. Don't weaken. Even when it looked crazy, He would not back down. While His enemies laughed at His promises, Donald Trump simply rolled up his sleeves and did the impossible. Just because we cannot see what the miracle should look like doesn't mean we cannot stand with Him. Now that He needs a miracle, how can we not stand alongside Him and believe Him for the impossible, which I don't believe is impossible? Now you know why I will not abandon Trump, will you? And one of the first responses to this article that was just put out was put out by a Lori, can't pronounce her last name, I'm not even going to try. It says November 6th at 9:59 p.m., additional prayer of agreement from Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann, and shared with her permission. She says, in the aftermath of the election, which is going on in the battleground states of Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, Georgia, North Carolina, Arizona, and Nevada is needing nothing short, and what is happening is nothing short of wicked. Just tonight, Arizona was moved from the blue column to the white toss-up column. Our prayers are availing much. This is Michelle Bachmann talking. Our prayers are availing much. It is now up to the body of Christ to step up. What if we mobilize a mighty intercessory prayer army to storm the gates of heaven on behalf of the voters of these states? If God has chosen to pronounce judgment on our nation, we understand here what she means. I don't need to qualify that. And let it fall under the weight of its own wicked devices, then so be it. I can rest in Him knowing that I left it all on the battlefield. She's awesome. The prayer strategy is simple. Join us in praying through the prayer petitions below. Then forward this email, and she goes on and talks about that. Prayer point one, expose and hold accountable those who practice the seven things God hates, and he says are detestable to him. And she quotes Proverbs 6, 16 through 17. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies. A person who stirs up conflict in the community. Heavenly Father, we humbly ask that the battleground states of, she goes on and lays out, if you're interested, we can get that to you. She lays out 5 points of intercessory prayer and says, it's way too early to lay down, stand and fight in the Spirit. I want to encourage you. It is unbelievable to me the plan that was set in place. When you have over 300 lawyers who rushed the courts within days of the election to change election law. This was a long plan strategy. Okay, so don't be down, don't be discouraged, be encouraged. I know this is a weird blend of politics and preaching the gospel, but I don't care. I don't worry about it anymore. Hope it doesn't offend you. It doesn't matter to me if it does. This is who we are now, and I want to encourage you, stand strong in Jesus. Amen. If you came this morning, I think I know everybody I'm looking at here today, but if you came this morning and you need prayer, you've never, you don't know for sure if you died today that you would go to heaven, you've never come into a personal relationship with Jesus, we're going to remain up here as we worship. I'll be glad to pray with you along with others. But having said that, we'll remain here and do that. Having said that, we're going to go ahead and stand to be dismissed. Lord, I